The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message. Someone's knocking at the door.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I feel like Johnny is screaming as well. God bless you. God bless you and honor you in Jesus' name. Before you sit, I want you to just find 3-4 people and say, welcome to a blessed week. Come on, just speak, activate your voice concerning their week. Say, welcome to your most blessed week yet. Your most blessed week. And remember that you are the one that told them that it was a blessed week. That at the end of the week, next week when they see you, they'll be like, indeed, my week was a blessed week. So go on, activate your voice. Welcome to a blessed week. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Amen. All right. Real quickly, just want to remind us that fasting begins midnight tonight. Hallelujah. You are usually excited about fasting. Or you want to keep on eating. Fasting begins midnight tonight, not tomorrow night. It means at the clock of midnight, Monday, 12 a.m., we begin to fast. We don't do 6 to 6, like some people say. We do the nighttime until 6 p.m. Usually, we have 4 categories here in church. And category A are the people that are breaking for 6 p.m. for the 3 weeks of our fast. 6 p.m., they're breaking. Thank you. At 6 p.m. for 3 weeks, meaning you fast from midnight to 6 p.m. the following day. That day, for 3 weeks. Category B are the people that are breaking at 6 p.m. for 2 weeks and then coasting for 1 week. What is coasting? Coasting is saying that we go without food and that week. We just stay on thin fluids, thin juices, not akamu. Like I said in the first service, you don't know what akamu is. You are very tush. It's pap. I grew up in the village. It's akamu, we used to call it, right? We don't drink meat water, Gary water, you know, or you just make Milo, like Milo would be like Ogbolo. No, just thin fluids for your stomach, for your gut health. Category C, we have people that will fast, break at 6 p.m. for 1 week and then coast for 2 weeks. And of course, category D are the people that just coast for the 3 weeks. All 3 weeks are just on thin fluids. Whichever category you choose, we ask that you please prayerfully choose that category and stick with it, and God will help you as you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we heard the 60-second news that we have devotion like we normally do, but just to correct that, the devotion will not happen at F. Monet. It will happen on the GFH HQ handle. It's GFH_HQ. That's it over there. So devotion tomorrow at 6 a.m. will happen at GFH_HQ live on Instagram. So please invite your friends, invite your colleagues, and everyone that is close to you. And God will bless you as you do in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Remember, your voice is activated. Amen. Okay, before we get into today's teaching, I'd like us to please worship together. So can I ask that you kindly rise to your feet? We're going to sing to the Lord a new song, worship with a new song. It's a wonderful song. I mean, I hope that it ministers to you as it has ministered to us. It's very simple, 2 stanzas. The first one goes, my hiding place, my safe refuge, my treasure, Lord. And he says, you are. He says, you're my friend and king, anointed one, most holy God. So it goes like this, my hiding place, my safe refuge, my treasured Lord, you are my friend and king, anointed one, most holy. Like that. Then the second stanza says, I will exalt you. I will exalt you. I will exalt you. You are my. Amen. Can we worship with that, right? Is anybody excited about that? Amen. So can we sing together? My hiding place.
Let's stay connected.
My safe refuge, my treasure, Lord, you are my friend and king, anointed one, most holy.
Thank you for being that refuge, our safety, where we can really find security. Father, today we ask that you breathe upon us. Our hearts are open, teach us yourself. Bring praise and glory to your wonderful name. In Jesus' precious name, we are prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you. Please, you may be seated. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay, I just want to say thank you to Papi for this privilege of being able to do this, to teach in this capacity. I said in the first service that we are getting used to this. If I were becoming comfortable with this, God will cause us to not get too comfortable in Jesus' name. Amen. All glory to his name. Okay, so as we know, the title of today's teaching is Faith Like a Child. Everybody say Faith Like a Child. Faith Like a Child. And conversing with the Holy Spirit and saying, okay, just remind me, Lord, what it really means to have faith like a child. I mean, not the adult faith. Maybe when you saw the teaching, like, faith, I know faith. Faith is the evidence of things that I know, you know, just that one that it taught you since you were in your own Sea Rock 20, 40, 50 years ago. This morning we want to look at faith like a child. What does it mean to have faith like a child? So for the sake of definition, faith like a child is the willingness to step forward boldly. The willingness to get out of that place where you are, however boldly. If I call the child, right, into any situation, you will see the way they come, even the shyest of them, if they're coming to their father, they come with boldness, right? So faith is the, like a child, is the willingness to step forward boldly with a heart like a child. I mean, just like, that's obvious, right? The heart like a child, trusting that something good awaits on the other side of the unknown. That's it. Something good awaits on the other side of the unknown. And I was saying in the first worship experience that we say to our sons that we expect good things to happen to us. We expect great things to happen to us. You should expect great things to happen to you. So come on, say with me, great things happen to me. Oh, only four people said it because that's only four people that believed it. Come on, say great things happen to me. So that's how a child engages life, right? They expect great things to happen to them. So it's the willingness for them to step forward boldly with that childlike heart, knowing that, no, regardless of what it is, something great awaits on the other side of the unknown. Now, we said also in the first worship experience that imagine, you know, being in a, you know, fun park or a playground, a theme park, right? Two sets of people, right? One, a child, and the other, an adult. Anybody here been to a theme park before? Right? Sango Tedo, they have one now. What's it called now? I can't remember what it's called. I've not been there yet, so I'm looking forward to going there. It's exciting. But imagine this one. This one is pretty high, right? And pretty daring. So the little child stands there. You can imagine their eyes will be sparkling with delight, you know, without a single worry in the world. The child just clambers up, position themselves, right? And with the slightest nod from their father or their mother, their loving parents, down goes the slide with unbridled glee. In fact, you can hear something like, whee, you know, until they get to the bottom and they splash at the bottom. Usually water at the bottom, you know, they're excited. I want to go again, I want to go again, I want to go again, right? Now imagine the adult stands at the top. Look, this slide, you first climb. Maybe it's ladder that will carry you or elevator that will carry you. And when you get there and you are like 20, 40 feet above ground, you now begin to ask yourself, who sent me message? I've used my own money to buy wahala, hypertension, right? So at the same opening, that inviting space that the child stood, stands the adult, but at this time the adult is frozen. The adult is frozen and the you know, voice of logic kicks in. And questions in your head begin to go like, is this thing really safe? You know, have they even checked their health and safety procedure? You begin to scan every potential flaw with this particular slide. You know, and then doubt creeps in as you begin to analyze every inch of this slide. You know, what if it's too fast for me? What if I fall off? You know, and all the other what ifs race through your mind, you know, while you are there until you hear a small voice says, my turn, my turn, my turn. And that opportunity passes you by. Why? Because you were adulting, right? You were adulting. How many of us can relate, right? That moment where you're just going through the motions over and over and over again. And our anchor scripture this morning is the same one that Papi used at the beginning of the year for the Open Doors teaching. And it's from Revelation 3, verse 8. I'm going to read it in the Living Bible translation this morning. And it says that, I know you well. God is saying to someone here this morning, someone online, that I know you well. There's nothing about you that I do not know. Other people may not know you, but I know you well. He says, you aren't strong. They think you are, but I know you. And that's not in any way saying that you are weak. You will not be weak in Jesus' name. But please get this. God is saying, I know you well. And he says that you aren't strong. But, you know, when you see a bot conjunction, I love it. He's saying, even though you are not strong, right? But I know that you have tried to obey and have not denied my name. Meaning, you are just sort of following me like a child, right? 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 And for that reason, therefore, I have opened a door to you that no one can shut. God has opened doors to us and no one can shut them. But he's saying that I know you well. Others may not know you on the inside, but I know you on the inside. They may label or even judge you by how you show up, but God is saying that I know you well. I know you well. They may say anytime you show up that, here comes God's general. God is laughing. Ha, ha, ha. I know you well. Right? That term, God's general, I mean, how many of us have heard that? God's general. Even this week, I saw it. I saw one man just show up on one Instagram post. They said God's general. But the God's general had mobile policemen guarding him. I'm like, okay, if it's God's general, what else? They will be angels. So, I mean, that's just humor, right? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the term God's general. But how about in this season, you show up as God's little child? God's little child. That little child, you know, that shows up with that pure, unguarded, total dependence on God. Because when you show up as God's little child, even though you may look pure, unguarded, get to us, the garrison of heaven is guarding you. Hallelujah. You don't really need mobile policemen with chakabula and all those things, right? Because the garrison of heaven is right there. And one of them can kill 180,000 in one swing. So how about you show up as God's little child? Because God says, I know you. I know you. They don't know you like I know you. Praise the name of the Lord. So how about you show up in this season as we begin to wait on the Lord for our first GWDA of the year? How about you show up with a faith that is simple, a faith that is trusting and delightfully vulnerable? That's the part I really want the most. Delightfully vulnerable. Like when I'm going down the slide, I'm saying, "Wee!" Until I eat water and I say, I gotta go again. Why? Because my papa gave me a nod and told me that it is safe. I don't need to worry about the bolts, the nuts, the screws of the slide and if they will come off. Praise the name of the Lord. Can I remind you this morning that God has already opened up the doors for us? We've been told the doors of opportunity have been opened. The doors of deliverance are open. The doors of revelation. The doors of provision. The doors of relationships. And of course, the doors of our destiny, they are open. God has already opened up the doors. They are wide open. So the problem is not that the doors are closed, but that we often hesitate to walk through these doors. Yes, you come on Sunday, and the papi says, Gospel House, what do you see? Only two people. Gospel House, what do you see? Gospel House, what do you do? And you demonstrate. But on Monday, when you get to work, the open door is there, but you're hesitating. And the open doors can come in different kinds of, you know, forms. It might be in your encounter with your colleagues. It might be in your trust. I mean, just taking that step and say, it's time for me to really apply for that job. It's time for me to actually, you know, be more open to certain kind of conversations with people. For you, the open door might even be relationally. Maybe with your spouse. Maybe they're saying I'm of marriageable age, but I've been closed in a certain kind of way. So it will show up in a different way. Any kind of way it shows up. Will you hesitate? Or would you embrace it with faith like a child and say, Lord, here I am. You said slide, and so yes, I'm sliding. Praise the name of the Lord. And, you know, the problem is that when those doors are open, we stand immobile. Why? Because adulting can cause you to freeze. Like the adult that stands there just, you know, logicalizing and rationalizing, should I go on this slide or not? You are frozen in a state. You are frozen in a state. And, you know, fear keeps us frozen. You know, you've heard of the fight or flight kind of thing. Fear, in some cases, keeps people frozen. Just like the adult standing before that slide. And when you freeze, life will literally pass you by. Can I just tell you this morning that anytime you are frozen in any decision, in any action, the time did not stop. Let's say you froze by your logic at, what time is it now? 11:01. How many of us know that in another 60 seconds it will be 11:02? Time is not going to stop for you. Well, maybe Joshua said, Sun, stand still. Moon, stand still. Oh, yeah, you tell sun and moon to stand still now. While you are frozen in fear, it won't stand still. Time will continue to pass by. And meat, milk, and vegetables can be frozen to preserve them, right? Guess what? Even corpses, dead, when someone dies, because you know we are not flesh, we are spirits. When you leave your body, your corpse, in some cases, will be frozen in the mortuary. Don't worry, you will not die young in Jesus' name. I'm seeing somebody like, no, you need to, don't be afraid of death. Because for you to die is gain in God. That is if you are in Christ. Amen? But you will live long in Jesus' name. So what was I going to do with that? Corpses are frozen. The question is, why would I want to be frozen when I'm not a corpse? That's the question I want to wrestle with. So the next time you're frozen because you're afraid or out of indecision, ask yourself, but I'm not dead, I'm alive. Something needs to be happening right now. And the danger of being frozen is that life slips by just like standing atop that slide and not daring to leap. Life will continue. Another child will come and pass you by and enjoy that moment, but you are there. So when fear as a result of logic, fear as a result of doubt or discouragement, right, just makes you immobile, you miss the open doors. Fear will not make you immobile in the mighty name of Jesus, and you will not miss your open doors. Anytime fear immobilizes you, you miss that exhilarating experience, right? The rush of God's miracles and the vibrant adventure that awaits when you step forward according to the definition, boldly, trusting that something great awaits on the other side of the unknown. So the child is not focused on doubts because doubts make us delay. Logic will make you rationalize and overanalyze. And then you miss out on the open door. I was sharing the first worship experience that Jesus was speaking to the paraplegic man in John 5, right? The guy, he was for 38 years, had been immobile. And Jesus was saying to him a simple question: will you be made whole? And his over-analytic mind kicked in. And he began to remember all the times when he wanted to be made whole, but somebody got in ahead of him into the pool of Bethesda. Right? He remembers that when he wants to, I really want to be made whole, but there's nobody to carry me. Jesus asked the question, will you be made whole? Like just asking you today. Jesus did not say, can you? He said, will you be made whole? It's another God we do it against service. Open doors. Will you be made whole? And you're saying, the last time I fasted, this, that, this. The last time I wanted to fast, ulcer did not allow me fast. The last time I fasted, I fasted, I prayed. After I finished fasting and praying, on the day after God is doing yourself, somebody bashed my car. Your mind begins to overanalyze because your mind always looks for references. It's after I finished fast. On that Monday like this, I ended up in the hospital. Why? Because when I broke my coasting, I used Akpu to break my coasting. Praise the name of the Lord. So he was saying, God, these are the reasons, you know. And Jesus was saying, you've missed the question. Will you be made whole? Will you be made whole? The truth is that past experiences always, always makes us skeptical. Because the Bible tells us in Proverbs 13:12 that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope that is postponed will grieve your heart. I know that there are times you have literally waited on God with everything. And you felt like, this is my season. But at the end of the season, it seemed like it did not work like you wanted it to work. Guess what? God did not fail. Come on now. I said God did not fail. God did not fail. God does not fail. God can never fail. And in this season, God will not fail you. In the mighty name of Jesus. So Jesus calls us to have faith like a child. Not just to declare the open doors on Sunday, but to believe and step through them boldly every day of the week. And our main passage, you know, for our conversations this morning will be from Matthew 14, from verse 22 to 33. It's a long read, so I'm not going to read all of that passage. You know, like Papi would say, when you are home eating your jollof rice and chicken, just open up that scripture and the Holy Spirit will minister to you himself in Jesus' name. So the background of this story, Jesus had performed a mighty miracle. He had fed 5,000 people and their children and stuff, like they say, with, you know, limited bread and fish. And after he did that, he said, oh, guys, it's time for you to cross over to the other side. Jesus is saying to you, cross over to the other side. And the Bible says that they got on the boat and Jesus went up to pray. At 3 a.m., he realized he could see them, maybe in the spirit, maybe in the physical, that they were struggling. The wind was battering them left and right. It seemed like a hopeless situation. And guess what? They all of a sudden saw someone coming on the water. If you're honest, the person that you shout, Mommy, water! At that time of the night, it's dark. They are frightened. They are cold. They are wet. They must have been drenched. And they see someone walking. I'm not sure they would have saying, oh, Savior. It's around me. No, that's not what's going to their mind. What's going to their mind is a different thing right now. So, and they see, but they recognize it's Jesus. So that's an opportunity, right? That is where you say two responses can happen at that time. And we said 2 weeks ago, when we're talking about activating your voice, that five times every second, your mind goes from threat to rewards. Your mind latches on one of the other one, depending on your nomenclature, on what your references points have been since you were a child. For some people, they will latch on more on threats. For some people, they will latch on rewards. Can you tell me what you think the child will latch on more? It's reward. Huh? Someone is walking on water. Lovely. They've never seen something like that before. That's the childlike faith. So at this point, two responses, threat or reward. And the first one is the adult mindset. The adult mindset says, wow, we are afraid. It's a ghost. It's not an opportunity. But the childlike mindset says that, wow, this is so amazing. And an invitation for an adventure. An opportunity for divine possibility. And guess what? It says, can I come? That's the next thing you hear. Papa, can I jump? If you stood on this stage as an adult, would you say, can I jump? So someone to catch you. But I'm sure if you allow that children from Syria, as they come on this stage, you'll be seeing people jumping. Phew, 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 that's it. Because they are not afraid of falling to break some bone. The adult mindset says that this is a haunted threshold. It's filled with shadow of doubts and looming peril. How can someone be walking on water at this time of the night? But the childlike mindset says that, wow, this is a divine encounter that I cannot allow pass me by. And when the childlike mindset is activated, all Jesus simply needs to say is come. Is come. So I pray in the name of Jesus that your childlike mindset will be activated so that all you will hear is come. Come on. I say all you will hear is come. And when you hear come, you will go in the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Come. And then you walk through that open door. Because all you heard was come. So real quickly, we're going to look at five traits, five characteristics of the childlike faith. I did say I would try and go deeper into it, but again, I want us to finish on time. So I'll just outline them and trust the Holy Spirit that as you do your own research, because the people of Berea, right, they didn't only just hear the apostles speak, they went back and they did their research and the Holy Spirit amplified it in their minds. Amen? So, five characteristics of childlike faith. Number one, childlike faith is childlike confidence. Childlike confidence. What does this mean? It means I trust without reservation. I trust without reservation. A child doesn't need to know all the answers before they trust. They don't need all the answers. Adults, on the other hand, would ask, why? How? There's a beautiful thing to ask why, right? But there are times like Peter that all you need to hear is come. Because you know the Holy Spirit is calling into something and you move. Number two is humble dependence. Means I am completely reliant on God. Humble dependence. Psalm 23 says that the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. I am completely dependent on God. Some of us are so dependent on ourselves that we depend on our prayer, thinking that it's our prayer that actually gave us the result. I'm not saying prayers don't work, but guess what? What if God did not answer the prayer? What would you do? Would you go to heaven and go and hold him and say, God, why didn't you answer my prayer? In fact, you hear things like, you know what? As I fire prayer, finish like this, eh? It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by his spirit, says the Lord, not me. He said it's not to him that willeth, neither to him that runneth, but to God who does what? Shows you mercy. May this one not go die for you, answer him. It's not. And there are times when Aaron also showed up in the situation and said, you know what, I fire prayer like this, eh? God, I fire prayer. Who's I? And then you begin to ask, Lord, did I do anything wrong? You're asking the wrong question. Maybe what you should have been asking is, what are you saying? Remember towards the end of last year, Papi said, what is God saying? Humble dependence. Everybody say humble dependence. Number three, three traits is innocent expectation. What does this mean? I joyfully anticipate. Remember I said only great expect great things. You have to face each day with a joyful anticipation. Many of us wake up with a drag. With your adult is adulting. You carry the world on your shoulders. But the Bible says that release your burden unto the Lord. So how about you wake up this week, every day this week, as we come into the season of fast, with a joyful anticipation. Not saying to yourself that today is a great day. Come on, can somebody say it's a great day? It's a great day. It's a great day. It's a great day. You have to have that innocent expectation. When Moses lifted up his staff when he stood before the Red Sea, he expected God to answer. God said, why are you crying out to me? Move forward. Moses lifted up his staff. Praise the name of the Lord. Number four is loving forgiveness. What does this mean? It means that I easily let go of things. Please, can you turn to somebody? Turn to somebody, please, quickly. And say, let go. No, you didn't say like I said. You say, let go. Let it go. Ah, you've been holding on to it. Holding on to it. You are iterating it in your mind over and over and over again. And guess what? It's now forming a stronghold of bitterness. Can I tell you something this morning? Bitterness blocks. It's a barrier to favor. Bitterness is a barrier to favor. Forgive quickly. Forgive easily. Let it go. Children don't keep things in their mind. They easily let it go. And I was sharing that yesterday, you know, I had the privilege of taking our second son to his inter-house spot. And he was fired up before the inter-house spot. In fact, he felt that they would win gold. You know? He put in his best, to be honest. He had two events he partook of. He tried. And then the match pass was serious. In fact, they came first in match pass, so they got a trophy. And he was excited. And I had the very difficult task of reading the result because I happened to be the PTA chairman of that school. And the person that put me in that wahala is sitting down here looking at us. Somebody gave me that baton. But God be blessed that person in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Say amen. So I had to read the results. And I read the second part of the results, which was the track and field events, which is actually the main part of the inter-house sport, right? And their team came last in it. Ah! This guy changed gear. See, cry. This guy cried up the end of that entire sport was cry. When you said that, cry. Till we got home, even his mom was talking to him on the phone, trying to ask him, cry. He said, this is going to be my last entire sport of the school because he will soon finish. And he did not get to win gold. So he was really broken, right? And I tried to console him as best as I could, because I don't even know what's going on in his mind. That's a childlike faith, right? He got home, took a shower, and next minute I saw a smile on his face. Can I play a video game? And I said, yes, you can play a video game. That same child, in an instant, let it go. In an instant, he has switched. Interhospital, don't go. I cannot come and go and kill myself. Then I carried a medal. Now I want to play video game. But that is the childlike faith. not holding on to stuffs, not holding on to what happened to you last year, not even reiterating the experience. Some of us are so battered by experiences that we have had to people that the moment someone opens up their mouth, you think you know what they're going to say. And then that forms your own counter reaction to them. And that relationship is going down the drain. Can somebody say loving forgiveness? Let it go. And number five is daring obedience, meaning that I immediately take action. And all these things are in that scripture that we read. I immediately take action. Immediately take action. This season, as we begin to wait on the Lord, midnight tonight, intentionally imbibe these traits. Take action. Don't delay. Whatever it is that you need to do, that you know that the Lord is leading you to do, please do not delay. And what I just shared with you, those five traits are an acronym, right, for you to remember easily. So I don't want you to forget because, you see, application is the most important part of any teaching. That's what tells you to be wise. When you apply what it is you have heard. So the acronym there is CHILD. Everybody say CHILD. CHILD. So it is childlike confidence, humble dependence, innocent expectation, loving forgiveness, and of course, daring obedience. That makes you a child. Amen. Somebody say, I'm a child. Yes, you're a child. Come on, say now. I'm a child. Mommy, you're 70. Say, but I'm not a child. Mommy, you're a child. You are a child of God. Amen. You are a baby in his hands. Praise the name of the Lord. And he will rock you in this season in Jesus' name. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay. So let's dive into the real flesh of this teaching now. So from this passage in Matthew 14, let's look at five reasons we struggle. People struggle to walk through open doors, right? And five, you know, postures, response systems we can adopt so that we are guaranteed that nothing will stop us from having that childlike faith in this season. Are you ready? Come on, little people said yes. Are you ready? So number one, the first reason why we struggle to walk through open doors is that we want guarantee instead of trust. We want guarantee instead of trust. Like the adults that will be adulting standing before that tall slide you saw, analyzing is, he wants, if they told him, maybe the HSC expert came with his file and said, today, we've done all the checks, all the bolts are properly screwed, chances are 99.9% you will not fall off this slide, you will go, and all that, you say, okay, and if anything happens, yeah, is a debt, life insurance, you know, if he had it, you say, okay, I'll get on the slide. So we are asking for a guarantee instead of a trust. You know, and this is real life. I'm just reminded now, in January, we had the privilege of taking an organization on, you know, their retreat. And one of my, you know, partner coaches, my coach actually called me into an opportunity to consult. And we took the team of leaders on one of the days to, where is it, Lekki Conservative Center. Should be somewhere there, right? And they have something called the 400 meters canopy walk. Anybody gone on that walk? Right? Huh? Anybody going to that walk? So, I know you can imagine leadership of this very reputable organization, big organization, they had all kinds of ages. And one of the women's, you know, after we, because we gingered them, I gingered them. You can do this. Hey, they got on the canopy. By the time she did the first leg, you know, there are four legs, first 100 meters. Ah, mama said, I ain't going no more. Ah, she returned. I cannot go on this thing. So you mean, it's go, I know it goes higher, higher, higher to the third one before it goes down. She said, I am not nothing. And she began to tell me a candid story of how she had done one thing one time and she did not listen to her voice when her voice said she should not go again. And that's how, by the time she finished, she threw up and she was sick for 1 month and she now had high blood pressure. In fact, very valid. So what she was saying to me that if you can guarantee that that occurrence will not happen anymore, then I can sort of trust this. But God is saying that you should not wait for guarantees. What you should do is trust. Peter wanted to be sure it was Jesus before he stepped out. And he said, is that you, Jesus? Jesus said, yes. He said, okay, that is you, right? Tell me to come. Many times we're seated at the open doors because we want full clarity before moving. You are asking for full clarity before moving. But faith doesn't wait for guarantees. It moves because God said so. Faith doesn't wait for guarantees. Faith moves because God said so. Faith does not wait for guarantees. Faith moves because God said so. And 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, I want you to think about this for a second. We walk by faith, not by sight. I am walking. Faith, not by sight. So it's telling me to trade my eyes for faith. In fact, my coach says something to me like this. He says, I traded my brain for ears. The first time he said, I felt that was such, it was a crazy kind of thought. He said, I traded my brain for ears. You know what that's saying? He's saying that he does not use his brain anymore. And guess what? He's very intelligent. He's very resourceful. But he says that I traded my brain for ears. What's he saying? That as I see the Lord do, so I do. As I hear the Lord speak, so I speak. And he says that to do the Lord's will is my meat. So I have traded my brain. Now that tells me, that's an interesting place to be, that if he does not hear, what will happen? He will not, come on now, if he does not hear, he will not, he won't do. If he does not see, whether if he does not hear, he will not speak. If he does not see, he will not do. And if he does not feed on the Lord, he will be starved. And that's a beautiful place to be. Where you say that the words that I speak will no longer just be plenty and ineffective. The words that come out of my mouth will be the words that I heard. Imagine speaking God's word every time you speak, and God's word does not fail. That will make you unstoppable. Praise the name of the Lord. Imagine taking moves only because you saw God take that move. That will make you impenetrable in the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. So the lesson here is that a child jumps when their father says, I will catch you. I will catch you. So do you trust God enough to jump in this season? God is saying to you, I will catch you. God is saying to you, I will catch you. I thought you would say amen. God is saying to you, I will catch you. God is saying to you, I know it's tough, but I will catch you. Is there somebody in this house this morning that's saying, God, I want you to catch me? Is that just one person? I want God to catch me. God, catch me, Lord. That's it. Catch me. I want to jump. I'm tired of being frozen and stagnated in my business, in my career, with my relationships. I'm always filled of logic. I'm afraid to my bones. Catch me, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. And the second thing that keeps people immobile is that we depend on logic instead of God's power. And scripture says that Peter looked at the strong waves and he began to sink. Peter looked at the strong waves and he began to sink. Peter started well. I was sharing the first worship experience that, think about that scripture. The Bible says that Peter began to sink. Is there anybody that has jumped into a pool before? Anybody here? A pool or river? Come on now, one more. Anybody jumped into a pool or river here? Okay, anybody has walked into a pool before? I didn't say jump. I know some people say I don't jump. I just carefully walk. It's okay, use the ladder. But when you wanted to come out, did you come out and walk on the water? Okay, or when you put your leg, right? You began to sink. You didn't plunge. As you put your leg, you went down small like this, right? Eh? Somebody, if you are, let's just bring you now. You lay hand on all of us, right? Peter began to sink. Meaning Peter did not plunge. Why? Because his eyes was on Jesus. So even at that time, then, the part that blew my mind is that he says that Jesus grabbed Peter. Right? And when he grabbed Peter, he didn't carry Peter. The Bible is specific. He would have said, Jesus carried Peter. Jesus grabbed Peter. And then began to ask Peter a question. Why did you doubt? You have little faith. All this while Jesus is talking to Peter. Please, can someone tell me where is Peter? Come on now, where's Peter? Peter is standing on the water. And they're having a conversation. And he says, next thing they climbed back into the boat. Remember, Peter walked to Jesus. How did they get back to the boat? They walked back to the boat. Hallelujah. They walked back to the boat. So Peter was doing well until logic came in. Where Peter's, in fact, it must have been Thomas. Thomas said, Peter, you go die, oh. You know, I was sharing to that for those of you on social media like me, I go there once in a while. If you are honest, you go there too, right? And there's this sound they make when someone wants to disappear or become insignificant. They say, pium. What is this? The first I heard that, tickled my brain. Pium. So Peter was walking well on the water. Next thing Thomas said, Peter, you go die, yo. Pew. It started sinking, right? Because he started depending on his logic. And Proverbs 3:5 puts it sweet in the Good News Translation. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Listen, everybody say, never. Never rely on what you think you know. For some of us, the stronghold of this season is what you think you know. What you think you know is insufficient now. God is saying, trust me like a child. Nicodemus went to Jesus. Jesus said, you need to become a child again. Why? How do I become born again? Trust Jesus like a child. Don't depend on your logic. Children don't need to understand how something works for them to believe it. Are you overanalyzing an open door instead of stepping through that door? Can I invite you to be like a child? Stop overanalyzing. It's going to work. Somebody say it's going to work. It's going to work. The how is not for you. It's for God. Praise the name of the Lord. Number three, we fear sinking instead of expecting success. We fear sinking. We struggle because we fear sinking instead of expecting success. Peter walked on water until he feared failure. All of a sudden, the wind became boisterous in his ears. And Peter is saying, wow, what am I doing? I must have lost my mind now. I'm born again and they're saying we should not eat and drink for 3 weeks. I don't lost my mind now. My friends are going to a party. Everybody's eating. And they're carrying all the sweet, sweet food in front of me. And I'm saying no. I don't lost my mind now. Right? And everybody's going to sleep. And you're showing up at 11 p.m. Monday to Friday when you have a project to deliver at work. You don't lost your mind, right? But that's what was going on. We fear sinking. That if I take this step like a child, I will sink rather than focus on the success. And I was sharing that in psychology, there's something called the CAPES, right? I had the privilege of doing some psychology specialized courses, and I have 5 of those specializations to the glory of God. God has been good. Celebrate with me, please. It's not easy to have them. And it gives me an edge also in earning. So there's something called the CAPES. And it says that every one of us has 2 CAPES, the red CAPE and the green CAPE. And the red CAPE represents everything that you do not want in life, right? And the green CAPE represents everything that you desire. So the red CAPE goes something like, I don't want to be sick. I don't want to be broke, or I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be lonely. I don't want to starve. I don't want to miss, and all the things that you don't want, right? Someone following, please. But the green CAPE represents everything that you desire. So the green CAPE goes something like, I want to be wealthy. I want to be healthy. Can someone say something? I want to be loved. I want to be blessed. And on and on and on. The opposite of what the red CAPE was saying. Now, can you tell me which of them, if you're honest, you focus on the most? When you felt a headache, did you say, I want to be well? Or you say, I don't want this headache again, no. Sometimes you will feel headache and you say, I don't want cancer. Let's be honest. Because something, or you watch something that told you that the person first had headache, and they had cancer. Or they had one stomach pain and something is saying, colon cancer. That's the devil. But you know what? Psychology says that whatever it is you focus on, it grows. So when you say, I don't want, your mind does not hear don't. Your mind only hears the final, sick. So when you're saying, I don't want to be sick, what your mind is hearing is sick, sick, sick. When you're saying, I don't want to be broke, your mind is hearing broke, broke, broke. When you're saying, I don't want to be poor or lonely, your mind is hearing lonely. So how about you reframe it and begin to say, I am healthy. Right? I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am blessed. I am strong. Use the green cape. I'm not saying you to come a time where it's impossible for you not to have the red cape, because sometimes the red cape will only help you, like they say, for certain kinds of engagement, and that's beyond the scope of this teaching. But use the green cape. Expect success rather than failure. Leave the what if I fail? What if I'm not good enough? What if this is not really for me? Who is it for then? You bid for a contract, and you're wondering, what if it's not me they will give? Why shouldn't they give you? If you have competence, why shouldn't it be yours? The Bible says the diligent will stand before who? Kings. Not before mean men. So yes, sort out diligence. Get all you need to do in terms of competency, in terms of skills, in terms of knowledge, in terms of understanding. But I haven't done all that, right? It is you that deserves it. Say, it is me that deserves it. Come on now, somebody need me. Say, it is me that deserves it. I deserve it. I deserve to be happy. I deserve to be blessed. I'm not worried about they that are sinking. Nigeria is, no, don't worry. I am blessed because Isaac sowed in that land and he reaped. And I'm Isaac's son by covenant, because Isaac is my father's own son by Abraham, isn't it? We have been handed down the covenant. So please reframe it. For 2 Timothy 1:17 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And I was saying that, picture a child learning to walk. When children are learning to walk, toddlers, you know, they fall, don't they, right? Anybody seen a toddler fall before? Sometimes they fall, they hit their head. Imagine a child falls and says, I'm not going to walk out again. No, walking is not for me. Who has seen a toddler like that before? They pick themselves up and they go again. They fall, they pick themselves up, and they go again. They get up and they go. They get up and they go. God is saying to you today, get up. Get up. Somebody get up. Say it. Say, get up. God is saying to you, you've fallen many times, but get up. Get up. Get up. Don't worry. Get up. The child is not worried that, you know, if I try to walk 3 more steps, I will fall. In fact, guess what? Getting up over and over again is what makes the child eventually walk before they run. They must get up. Say, I must get up. That's it. I must get up. Get up and walk. Get up and walk. Call your name. Richard, get up and walk. In the name of Jesus. Why should I stay down? Get up. And number 4, why we struggle to walk into the open doors, that we hold on to the familiar instead of embracing the new. Peter had to leave the boat. The boat was the familiar place. In fact, no matter what was happening outside, even though the wind was thrashing them, the boat still felt more familiar than anywhere else, right? Come on, guys, let's be honest. The boat will seem familiar to you. But Peter had to get up out of the boat. Can I ask you something? Where was everybody else? They were all in the boat. There were at least 11 other people, including Thomas. We die here. We die here. They were in the boat. Everybody else stayed in the boat, but Peter got out of the boat. You will get out of the boat in Jesus' name. So the boat was safe and familiar, but can I tell you, the miracle was outside of the boat. The boat was safe and familiar. What is that safe and familiar that you have been used to? Your own way of doing it. And it has been stormy. God is saying it is time for you to get out of the boat like a child. Get out of the boat and walk on water. Many people stand at the open doors but hesitate, because stepping means that they'll be leaving their comfort zone. Stepping means that they'll be embracing uncertainty, like we said in the definition of faith like a child. You will embrace the unknown. Stepping means that you will trust God completely. Of the 3 things I said, I think the craziest is trusting God completely. Trusting someone that you cannot see. But guess what? That is where the biggest reward is. When you can trust God completely. When you can trust God without any inhibition. That's where the biggest reward is. And Isaiah 43, 18 to 19 says that, forget the former things. Forget the things that you are familiar with. Do not dwell in the past. He says, see, I am doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. Amen. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Can you behold it? Can you walk in it? You walk in a new thing in Jesus' name. So faith like a child means eagerly running toward new experiences. I'm eagerly running towards new experiences. I'm not cowering. So the question is, are you ready that in this season you will eagerly run towards new experiences? Starting from midnight tonight, I'm running towards new experiences. I'm looking for new experiences. I'm not used to the familiar. Look, some of us, we just know that first week, prayer at 6 p.m. Second week, praise at 6 p.m. Last week, vigil. And that is all that you have programmed your mind to. No expectation. Can I ask you to please change that in this season? Well, all you want to do is just wait till 7 o'clock and say, you know, my father, son, and Holy Spirit, and you grub. Can you wait maybe for another 20 minutes after or 15 minutes after and just sort of sound the heart of God and know what he's saying? Can I ask that when you praise and they're praising, you're not just listening to the praise and you're actually involved in praising God? And when you close your eyes, you're actually in the throne room? That when you come for the vigils, you're not just waiting for who go take prayer points today. That one's a big fire prayer point. It might be the one that has this calmest voice that is taking you. I mean, all our pastors are anointed, praise the Lord. Let's give a clap of offering to the Lord for our pastors. But it might be that the thing that God wants you to connect with the most can come from even the tiniest of voices. Can I remind you that when Elijah was confused and he needed to have, in fact, Elijah had done a great and amazing feat. He had killed all the prophets of Baal. He had called fire from heaven, right? He was an adult. He was adulting. But small threat like this, Elijah say, pium, and he ran. And when he ran and he found himself in that mountain, what kind of voice did Elijah hear? Was it a boisterous voice? The Bible said it was a whisper. And he said, what are you doing here? Praise the name of the Lord. Faith, like a child, means eagerly running towards new experiences. Please open up your heart to new experiences in this season in Jesus' name. And the Lord will help you as you do. Amen? And number five is that we delay instead of obeying immediately. That's why we struggle with open doors. We delay instead of obeying immediately. Peter responded immediately, and that's why the door was open. All Peter heard was, come. And like a child, Peter was out of the boat. Delay often leads to doubt. The longer you wait, the more excuses you will find. The longer you wait, the more excuses you find. So this season, make up your mind to willingly obey the instructions that come from this altar. Willingly obey the instructions that come forth from this altar. When it's time to fast, please fast. Obey. Don't logicalize that, you know what? God speaks to me and tells me when to fast. Look, God is not an author of confusion. If he wants the church to fast corporately in this season, you ought to fast. Read Joel 2 and read about the guys that were aligned together. He says that they were unstoppable. They were consuming things, and behind them there was wastage. He said none of them was breaking ranks. Please don't break ranks. Join in the fast. When it's time for us to pray, pray with all your heart. Pray like a child. Believe me, you're not begging God, but you're holding him to his word. You're standing in the place of authority. You're activating your voice. When it's time to praise, praise exorbitantly, right? Have you seen a child praise and dance, right? They do all the dances. They're moving, right? But some of us are too cool for Jesus. You know, your steeze, your demure cannot be altered. And when it's time for you, you know, to whatever, give in the time of just waiting, be involved. For the word of the Lord says in Isaiah 1, verse 19, that if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Say amen. Because you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of this season. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I will hear the baby say amen. Hallelujah. Out of the mouth of babes, they ordain praise. Hallelujah. So now let's quickly dive in as we wrap up and look at the five simple steps. And I call them simple because they are simple. You probably have heard them before. But application will be your portion in Jesus' name. Five simple steps to develop faith like a child. Number one is courage. Everybody say courage. Courage? Yes, courage. What does courage mean? Courage means that you step out boldly like Peter did. Peter took the first step. It was in the first step that Peter discovered that his leg could move on water. Peter took that first step without knowing how it would end. So you must take the first step. Take the first step. As a church, we are always moving through steps. We have the 6/6. For you, maybe your first step is one of these steps. Maybe it's to take the journey to know the direction of the church, to know the vision of the church, and see how you are part of that vision, and how you will go on your own mission. Maybe it's a new creation reality because your walk with God is up today and down tomorrow. Maybe you need to join a life group because you are isolated week in and week out, and you're saying, nobody loves me in this church. You want to connect to people? Connect through the life group. How about you sign up to serve? God is saying, stop being in the secret service. It's time for you to come to the public service. Don't just come to church and go home. Come to church and go home. God is placing a demand on your gifts, your time, and your talent. For you, maybe it's baptism. Maybe it's baptism of the Spirit. You're in church, and when people are praying in tongues, you say, these people, why can I do this thing? Look, if you are hungry, God will feed you. Hallelujah. If you are hungry, I say, God will feed you. Come and be baptized by full immersion in water. And of course, you want to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, who will lead you to be baptized, and you will pray in tongues. Amen. Maybe for you, it's counseling. You just need someone to talk through that difficult time to unhold you. Maybe for you, your next bold step is just to say, Jesus, here I am, I surrender. And come into a relationship with Him. You've been in church for so long. God is saying, Jesus is saying, will you be made whole? Don't go back the same way you came. Will you be made whole? Will you give your life, your heart to me so I can make you whole? So you can break free from pornography. So you can break free from masturbation. So you can break free from all the vices, from the lust, from greed and covetousness. God is saying, I am all that you need. All I need you to do is have the courage to own up that you need me and come. Praise the name of the Lord. Take the first step. Why? Because faith requires movement before certainty. Faith requires movement before certainty. Courage is simply taking the first step in spite of the fear. And if you are honest, there are many opportunities that have passed you by, because by the time you finish analyzing all you needed to pursue that opportunity, you were already overwhelmed. Is there anybody here that can relate? You're just running the opportunity through your head. How would these things be? And before you know it, the opportunity is gone. Anybody can relate? May God take you out of that position in Jesus' name. So what you need to do when the opportunity shows up is just simply say yes to one step in front of the other before fear talks you out of that opportunity. Fear will not talk you out of your opportunities in the mighty name of Jesus. And number two is confidence. I told you they are simple. Number one is what? Courage. Number two is what? Confidence. Confidence simply means believe you belong here. I'm confident that I belong here. Many times we hesitate at open doors because we feel unworthy. I'm not worthy. God, if I try it, I'm finished. If I go down this slide, I won't survive. You are worthy because God has got you. But a child never questions their place at the table of their father. Never. If you put food on the table, your child, and you say, come and eat, your child will not say, ah, but am I your child? Before they begin to eat. Before you finish praying, guess what? A piece of meat is in their mouth. And so you have not prayed. So it's a different conversation we'll be having. The moment you invite a child to a table, what do? They eat. They don't worry how you got the food. Your child is not going to be worrying whether we are going to sleep under this roof tonight. And I was saying that even children in that place of, in a season in their life where their parents have been thrown out of their houses and they're having to sleep under the elements, they don't worry which place they will sleep as long as they're following their father and their mother. Wherever their father and mother says this is shelter, they will hide under there and they sleep. So you need to own your place. You must never, never, never question your place at God's table. So I want you to repeat after me now, but listen, if you don't mean it, don't repeat it, right? But if you mean what you're about to say, you don't know what I'm about to tell you to say, but you should mean it, right? I love that. If you mean what you're about to say, I want you from the bottom of your heart, in fact, close your eyes to avoid distraction and say, God has prepared this place for me. Come on, say it. And I step into it with confidence. God has prepared this place for me. What is this place? When I get to my workplace in the morning, before I do anything, I say, God has prepared this place for me, and I step into it with confidence. You want to speak to your clients, God has prepared this place for me. In your home, even though it may look chaotic, God has prepared this place, this marriage for me, and I step into it with confidence. God has prepared it. My bills are before me. God has brought me for a time to be able to pay my bills, and I step into it with confidence. Come on, say it. God has prepared this place for me, and I step into it with confidence. You must activate your voice and speak it like a child. God has prepared this place for me, and I step into it with confidence. Number three is commitment. Commitment just means keep walking even when it seems hard. Can you imagine Peter walking on water? You think Peter would just be stepping like this? Water is wavy, right? It must have been hard. He must have been doing maybe something like this because it's his first time, right? But he was walking before Thomas saying, "You go sink, oh," and he began to sink, right? So it is hard, we know. But Peter sank because his mind wavered. He began to think about on how hard this thing is and how the winds, and then he wavered. He had stepped out, all right, but everything around him was screaming, "This is insane." Is there someone saying, "You know what? Everything around me is screaming, this is insane right now." Can I invite you to just commit to your purpose in Christ? Commit in fellowship and followership of Christ. Because childlike faith means persisting even when things look shaky. Childlike faith means I persist even though things look a bit wavy and shaky right now. I keep going. You know, and I saw a picture, the slide that's about to come, it's one that you have seen maybe 1,000 times. But it's very deep and thought-provoking, and I thought we should just look at it, stare at that image for a little bit. You've seen this image before, right? And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will actually amplify. How committed are you to your purpose, your life's purpose? You know, and that's a guy. You can tell this man, for him to have dug, that's the bottom one, for him to have dug that far, he probably had done that for years. He's looking weary. And just at the moment where he strikes treasure, he gives up on his purpose. He did not have that privilege, that opportunity to hold that treasure in his hand and say, "I won." It could have been that it was his relationships that were tormenting him and was saying, "To hell, I can't do this. These people are not worth it. This stress is not worth it. I got to go back." And he puts the digger on his shoulder and he steps back. And another enthusiastic one is heading for that treasure. And if he persists, he will hit treasure. And they'll say, "Now bad head he gets." Village people are worrying him. All he needed to do was just stay committed to his purpose. Question, how committed are you to your purpose? How committed are you to your purpose? You know, there's a story. It's a true story, but there are different accounts. So I'll tell you one account that I know that you might be familiar with. A man in Texas had a field, a big expanse of land, and he was drilling. Over the years, he got equipment and drilled, looking for oil. And just 3 feet away from cracking oil, he gave up and sold off the field. For what he would have felt was a fair bargain at the time, and went home. And the person that bought the field, some people say it's Andrew Carnegie, whoever it was that bought the field, went into that field and drilled for only, imagine, he had done all the work. He had done all the work. Imagine if someone walks down this lower corridor, all he needs to do is 2-3 strikes, right? And it's in the treasure. He had done all the work, and that guy just drilled 3 feet oil and became a billionaire. What have you given up on? What are you giving up on? Can I invite you to rekindle the spirit of commitment today? And don't give up on the things that God has placed in your heart. Because like Papi said, as he places it in your heart, he will bring it to your hands in Jesus' name. So how committed are you to your purpose? When things get tough, do you quit and abandon or do you persist? God will give you the spirit of resilience in the mighty name of Jesus. So number four is connection. So let's take it up from the top, right? Like Papi does. Number one is what? Courage. Only two people are following. Number two is what? Confidence. Number three is what? Commitment. That's how I become have a childlike faith. And number four is connection. I stay focused on Jesus, eye to eye with Jesus. Peter began to sink the moment he disconnected from the voice that brought him out from the boat. When he was connected to that voice and his vision was connected, he was walking. He sank when he took his eyes off Jesus and began to place his eyes and his mind on the waves and the wind. What are you connected to? And I said in the first service that somebody will say, Wi-Fi. What are you connected to?
Instagram.
Facebook. Telegram. Yes, you can sometimes connect. But stay connected to Jesus. Everybody say, stay connected to Jesus. That's the key to staying above water. Keep your focus on God. Keep your focus on Jesus. A simple, practical faith like a child's step that I want you to practice in this season. There are many, but remember I said the simple things, right? Keep it. I have a KISS acronym. My wife tells me not to use the first S, so I'll use the last S. So keep it simple. But me and her knows what the other S means, right? Should I tell you? No, they'll beat me when I get home. Keep it. What can I switch that S with now? Eh? Okay, keep it sweetly simple, right? Keep it sweetly simple. But I can share what it is. Now that I've told you the right one, I can tell you the one I said before. Eh? I'll say keep it stupidly simple, right? Because simple in a way that even the most stupid person can grasp it, right? But she says it's not correct. So keep it sweetly simple. Something you can do, simple and practice, right? It's just practical, rather. It's just focus and meditate on one scripture daily. Is that not simple enough? Focus on one scripture throughout the week. I've been on one scripture. I mean, I'm not saying I read the other parts of the Bible. I have a Bible plan. I'm following yearly Bible plan. But there's just one scripture I've not been able to get over since, for like 2 weeks now, and that is in Psalm 25, verse 14. And it just tells me that God confides in them that reverently and worshipfully fear him. And with them, he shares his covenants. Woo! I don't want to get out of that. Because I now know that come what may, God will confide in me, right? There's a hack there. I just need to reverently worship him. And he's going to share his secrets, his covenants. I want to be inside God's covenant. That even though you don't like my face, God will share his covenant with me. Is that not a beautiful deal? Even though you don't like the way I sound, right? God will share his covenant with me. Is that not a sweet deal? Think about it. So what about you? Take one scripture, anchor there, and say, I behold until I am found. I behold until I am found. I behold. Just hold on there and hold on to that scripture until that scripture becomes life unto you. Praise the name of the Lord. So I'm connected to this verse against all odds. Find one verse. Be connected to it because I know that because I'm committed to reverently fearing, if I can use that word, of the reverential fear and worship of the Lord, I come into his secrets of my life. I come into his secrets of my relationship. I come into his secrets for my ministry. I come into his secrets for my health and my wealth. It's revealed to me because God will confide in me. Hallelujah. So you need to hold on to your own until God makes it come alive in your heart. And number five, the final one, is celebration. Somebody say celebration. Like a child, enjoy and rejoice in every step. Children celebrate small victories. See a child put together a small Lego piece and they are excited. They are not waiting for the final work. They celebrate every little piece of that progress. So instead of waiting for the final success, right, celebrate the progress. Thank God for every step through the open door. Psalm 118, verse 23 and 24 says that the Lord has done this, hallelujah, and it is amazing to us. This day belongs to the Lord. Let's celebrate and be glad. Can I have somebody in this house, somebody celebrate? Come on, celebrate. Celebrate this day, celebrate. Clap unto him, celebrate. Lift your voice unto him, celebrate. Like a child, celebrate and be glad. Not tomorrow, today, celebrate. So that tomorrow you celebrate again. Praise the name of the Lord. God has already opened the doors unto us. The question is, will you step through like a child or hesitate like an adult? Can we please bow our heads as we bow our hearts? Will you step through like a child or hesitate like an adult? And the secret to walking through these doors, like we have shared, are courage, confidence, commitment, connection, celebration. Take the next step. Believe you belong here. Keep walking. Stay focused on Jesus. Rejoice in every step. And this morning, I want to invite someone here to take that courage, that first step in confidence as you commit your heart and your life to Jesus today. You want to establish a connection with Jesus so that you will not sink, but you have many reasons to celebrate. If that is you, you're saying, I want to connect to Jesus, or you were once connected with Jesus and you missed that connection, there's an interruption in that connection. You want to be reconnected this morning. I want to reconnect with Jesus this morning. That is me. Put up your hand and I'll pray with you. That's what we're asking. And if you're online, you can do the same. The instructions have begun to scroll now. I want to be connected to Jesus. Put up that hand and put it up over your head. Well, receive a card and we'll pray with you.
I want you to raise your hand high over your head if you're making that commitment this morning. Like a child, when a father wants to carry a child, the child stretches out their hands, lifting up their hands and make it easy for the father or mother to carry them. If you are here this morning and you want to hand over your life to God, whatever your situation is, whether you are tired of the life or everything is going smoothly, but you know there is a gap, you know that there is something that is just missing, and you want that hole to be filled, you want that gap to be closed, I want you to stretch out your hand right now, wherever you are, wherever you are hearing these words from, stretch out your hand and let God lift you. Let God carry you into his own arms like a child. Let God lift you up right now. Whoever you are, please raise your hand and let us pray. If you are online right now, the instructions are scrolling on the screen. Please follow the instructions and also say this prayer with us. Wherever you are, let us pray this prayer together. Let us hand over our lives to God. He's just waiting for you. He said, I stand at the door of your heart and I am knocking. Knocking. God is knocking on the door of your heart this morning. Open up that door for him. Open up the door of your heart to him. Let him come in. Let him sit with you. Let him sup with you. Let him have life, do life with you. Let him celebrate you. God wants to celebrate you. Angels are waiting to celebrate you this morning. Angels are waiting to rejoice because you accepted God as your Lord and Savior this morning. So as we pray now, please pray this prayer after me and say with all seriousness, and immediately after the prayer, begin to dance and rejoice because you have become a child of God. Say, Father, I come before you this morning. I want you to forgive me for all that I have done that is not right. I want you to come into my heart. Be my Father. Be my God. Be my Savior. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me whole. I want you to fill me with your presence. I want you to take over my life. I surrender my life to you this morning. I come trusting like a child. I believe that you can save me. I believe that you have saved me. I accept you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior this morning. Come into my heart and stay. Come into my life and take over. Come into my life and have your way. Do that which only you can do in my life. From today henceforth, I am your child. I am your child, Jesus. I am your child, Jesus. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. From this day and forward, and my life will never remain the same again. Thank you for accepting me just as I am. Thank you for accepting me just as I am. Thank you for washing me. Thank you for cleaning me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for taking me. Thank you for holding me in your hands. Thank you, my Father. For in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. If you said that prayer, I want you to know that from today, God has taken you. Your name is written in the book of life, and your life will change from today in the mighty name of Jesus.